I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. So it's time to mix things up a little bit on this episode of the Productivityist Podcast, and I have Joanne Ling and Tracy Fry from Sister Mixin on the show to talk about working with family and being productive while doing so. The idea of making decisions, delegating, planning, trusting your gut, and then a lot of other cool things mixed in between. After all, they did put together Sister Mixin for us, right? I was on their show, and now it's their turn to come on mine. Here are Joanne Ling and Tracy Fry here on the Productivityist Podcast. So we're going to mix it up today here on the Productivityist Podcast, and with me is Joanne Ling and Tracy Fry from Sister Mixin. Thanks for joining me today, ladies.
No worries. Thanks for having us. Yeah, thank you so much.
So I think you're the first Australians I've had on the show ever. Definitely Australian women. I might have had an Australian man on the show before, but definitely not Australian women. So why don't each of you kind of tell my audience a little bit about you, and then we're going to dive into the ins and outs of Sister Mixin, and what I want to touch on today in particular is how you're able to work collaboratively and have a business that's thriving. So Joanne, why don't we start with you? You do a little bit of introduction of who you are, and then Tracy, you can jump in and kind of give a bit of your background, and then we'll dive into the collaborative unit known as Sister Mixin.
Sure, no problem. Okay, so I guess at the end of the day, I am a mom, foremost, I guess. And I've got two children, a four-year-old and a seven-year-old. They keep me really busy. And then, of course, you know, I run Sister Mixin on top of that. And yeah, our life, I guess, took a big change about 3.5 years ago when I had a lot of behavioral issues with my daughter. And at the time, she was just three. And, you know, her baby behavior was pretty much out of control. A lot of hyperactivity, these tantrums that would not go in, you know, not end. She was biting and lashing out and, you know, really had a lot of symptoms like the ADHD or even ODD, like opposition defiance disorder. And it was then when I sort of thought to myself, I really need to start, you know, looking into what is going on with her. I booked her into a clinic, and long story short, basically, I was able to change her life and our life through food. So then I started a little blog, and it was called something else but Sister Mixin at the time. And then about 12 months later, Tracy came on board, and then basically we turned it into Sister Mixin. And then fast forward a few years, we are where we are today. So that was a really quick story, but pretty much it started because of my daughter.
And Tracy, what brought you into the fold? Like, I mean, obviously you're part of it. You're the other sister in Sister Mixin, or you're one of the sisters. So what brought you into the fold?
Well, after Jo had started this little free blog and sort of started on her path to this additive-free journey, I realized fairly early on that what I was doing to my family was, you know, feeding them food that potentially wasn't safe to eat, I guess, if you want to look at it like that. And I started down the path again with Jo, and then I just started sharing some recipes with her and different things and sort of just was helping out from a sister point of view, really. And then it wasn't until we kind of went, we could actually turn this into a business. Like, we had this bit of a, I wonder if we could make some money out of this, or I wonder if we could turn this into a business. And we were helping people, and we were doing it for the love of it, which we still do. But it sort of took this turn, and we realized that we were kind of heading down this path of a business without even realizing, really. And it took us months and months and months, and we're just winging it the whole way along. And then we started making some money, and we started turning it into a business, and we kind of just fell into it, really.
Mm.
And I know we had a chance to chat at Chris Ducker's Tropical Think Tank, and we talked about systems and integrating some productivity practices. And it's been a while since we had that discussion. And when we kind of, I was on your show as well, which we'll link to in the show notes. How has kind of enhanced productivity or adopting some of this stuff And yeah, I might toot my own horn a little bit here. That's fine. My show. But how has that helped you guys in terms of not maybe not growth, but just in terms of kind of from an organizational standpoint?
Oh, can I answer this one?
Sure.
So it's Joe here. So Mike, when we went to Tropical Think Tank, the reason we went was because we were lost, pretty much. We had, you know, an e-course happening. We just started a membership program. You know, we had a few things going on and the business was ticking along really well. We've got a physical products store as well attached to our business and it was all going really well. But we were kind of lost, weren't we, Trace? Like we didn't really know what to do next. Like we didn't have any systems in place. And the main reason we went was because, yeah, we just needed some clarity and some organization. And, you know, to be honest, Mike, like we didn't really even know who a lot of the speakers were. We just knew that it was going to be a really great conference. So I think when we heard you talk, I remember looking at Tracy like the whole time going, oh, we need to do that. Oh, we need to do that. Oh, we need to do that.
And you know what, Joe? I'll just interrupt. Sorry. And Chris came over to us afterwards and he goes, I saw you guys looking at each other that whole time. It was like this, you know, you just eyeball it. Oh, and you could see this sister connection. Like we didn't even have to speak. We're like, oh, yeah, we need, that's what, all right, that's what we need to do.
So you were like our knight in shining armor. And, you know, to be honest, I don't say that lightly. Like our whole business has changed since that conference and a lot of the, you know, things that we've put in place has come because of your hints and tips. So thank you, Mike.
No, thank you. I love hearing that stuff because, I mean, much like you bring your business into the fold to kind of make a difference with not just your families, but now you've extended it beyond your families. That's why I do it too. And what fascinated me about your story is I remember we're sitting at, I think it was one of the afternoon lunch sessions, right? I think it was on the second or third day. It was the second day. And you're not in the same, now are you guys in the same town now? You are, right? Or do you like, you guys work from a bit of a distance. Yeah. Like, so working collaboratively and yet having that cohesiveness was something I found incredibly fascinating. How, I want to dive into that. I want to figure out like, how do you have harmony between the two of you in running this business when you're not in, I mean, you're in the same country, but you're not in the same vicinity necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Tracy here. So we live, it's a good 3-hour plane flight from each other. And I am in a state called Tasmania, which is actually an island off the main coast of Australia.
So you're like me, living on Vancouver Island, not actually attached to Canada, but still part of. Yeah.
So technically, we can't even drive to each other because we'd have to catch a boat. When I say a ferry, it's like a big, you know, big boat. It's not just a 10-minute ferry ride. It's actually an overnight trip on the ferry to the mainland of Australia. So we're not even close enough to do that. And but I think it works because we're sisters. So we have that sister connection. If I'm really honest, I think it would probably struggle or people would struggle if you weren't with that family bond and that family connection. I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I just think it would be a bit harder. So we have that sister connection and we also have, you know, like lots and lots and lots of phone calls, like daily, all the time. We spend a lot of time on Zoom and I guess we just communicate all the time. Like it's constant. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop. And it's also from a private point of view as well. So because we're sisters, so we talk about everything in our lives, not just the business, mm-hmm. which I think is what makes it work really well.
And you'd think though, and I mean, this is a bit of counterintuitive, but I know that could be challenging too, because my wife and I, of course, we're not brother and sister, obviously, but still like there's that family thing where we're working on this business together. And there's a challenge of having that balance between, you know, talking about business and talking about home life. When you get together, do you find that there's a bleed over there that can be a bit problematic? Or are you able to kind of, is it just ebb and flow and it kind of just, it works and it's not really anything that kind of gets in the way?
Okay. So as sisters, we fight sometimes.
I have a brother. I get it. What's the age difference, just out of curiosity?
About 5.5 years.
See, I've got 3 years between me and my brother. We fought. And he's more of the athletic one. I'm more of the cerebral one. So we did not get along terribly well growing up. We get along better now because we're adults. But yeah, that there was a lot of animosity between the two of us. So I get that.
So I'll keep answering. So as sisters, yes, we definitely fight. But do you know what happens? Because we are sisters, it doesn't break our business. Mm. We just move on. And we might have this tiff, you know, an argument, a little tiff. But it's actually sometimes really good for our business because we can kind of vent all our frustrations, get it out in the open without being scared that we're going to offend the other person or we're going to say something inappropriate because we're sisters, we can say it anyway. And then just come out the other side like nothing has happened. Or we actually go, oh, we actually needed that big Barney so that we could figure it all out. And now we know exactly what we need to do. It's kind of weird.
Mm. And sometimes we compliment each other a Barney, but we're actually complimenting each other because I'm quite gung-ho. Like I have a million projects on at the one time and it's Joe here and I want to do this and I want to do that and I want it this way. And then we might have a bit of an argument because Tracy's like, just slow down, you know, one step at a time. So we really complement each other in our different personality traits in that way. And then, you know, we might have a bit of an argument because we're both really stubborn as well. So sometimes none of us want to back down and, you know, we're both right. So we have a bit of an argument and then we sort of step back and go, okay, she said some good points. You know, I said some good points. Let's just try and gel them together. And then we kind of make it work. You know, when we were building our e-course, we had quite a few arguments because I wanted to do it this way. Tracy wanted to do it that way. And then we came to a compromise and we did it the way it is now.
Is that how you handle decision-making for the business on the whole? Because, I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on. You've got the recipes, you've got the membership, you've got the products. Do you sit down? I mean, again, you talked about having lots of phone calls and lots of Zoom calls. How does that decision-making process work? Because I know, like, for example, in my business, I make a lot of the decisions around the creative components. And then my wife is like, well, how much is this going to cost? Number one, like what about mm-hmm. these other things? Cause I'm like you, Joanne, I'm very much like, oh, I want to do this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. And I mean, I'm really good at kind of compartmentalizing and mapping it out and saying, okay, well, this thing won't mm-hmm. happen until, you know, 8 months from now. But there's always that creep, right? There's always that, like, because it's there in the background. But she's the one that kind of grounds me there. And so when decisions happen, it's very much we're both coming from a very informed place. How do you handle the decision-making process? Is it a lot like what you just described about, you know, kind of the bantering back and forth and kind of coming to a compromise? Or is it, you know, when you're in a bit of a stalemate, you just decide, okay, you know, we're not going to make a decision on this at all. We're just going to let it simmer and percolate for a while.
Hmm. Good question. Generally, one of us just comes up with an idea and then we'll say to each other, what do you think about this? And Tracy, 9 times out of 10, goes, not now. but yeah, I don't know. Like I guess we just toy around with the ideas and, you know, we'll jot down some dates and we'll think if it's going to work. And sometimes, you know, one of us does push each other a little bit more as well. Like, you know, our membership program, that was a big step for us to do that because it obviously eats into a lot of our time. Could we do it? Is it going to work? And, you know, Tracy was a little bit hesitant, but I really think this is going to work. Like, just trust me, let's just do it. So she went, okay, yep, no worries. You've got my back. And we ran with it. You know, so sometimes I guess we just have to take a leap of faith and then other times we just won't do it. We always live with that motto of when in doubt, don't. And that is business and personal life. When in doubt, don't.
And the other thing is we have set roles as well. So we do have various roles that each other takes on more of than the other person. So, we have those defined roles as well. So if there's a decision that needs to be made in a role that I generally handle and it's something that I'm like, yep, I'll just make that decision, I'll call that. And, you know, but if it's a really big financial decision or something that, yeah, like Joe said, is going to eat into a lot of our time, then obviously we discuss that a lot. We also have a business coach as well, and we do run things past them. And then we have our husbands, we run things past them as well. So I guess it depends on what we're talking about. Obviously, little, small, daily things. We just do, like Jo's up in Queensland and she's in the warehouse and so she's dealing with the physical product side of things, and she just makes decisions on the spot, like that she doesn't ring me every time. And then I'm the same here, like I might make decisions and go, yep, we're going to do that, we're going to be on this podcast, or we're going to do that. So, yeah, various things, yeah, we have our own little decision makings, but big, big decisions that are going to affect the business as a whole, then, yeah, obviously we talk about those a lot.
So it's a real family affair, this business, but do you have outside contractors that are a part of the team, or are you...
Yeah,
so you do outsource, you're, and have you gotten better at outsourcing in recent years, or and was that a tough thing for you to do?
We love outsourcing.
Yes, and yes.
It was hard because you don't want to let go of your baby almost. Mm. And then at the same time, you know, you think, well, I just can't do it all as well. And it was finding the right person, I think, that was probably the hardest part. And we made a few errors here and there, but now we've got a really great team. We hire two staff that come into the office on any given day, so they're physically in Australia with us. And then we have two overseas staff as well. And then there's obviously the two of us. So there's six people in whole that we're employing, which is pretty cool.
How far ahead do you map things out in planning? Because we talked about, you know, theming and stuff like that. How far, there's a chuckle, is it like not far enough and too far? Do you have like a middle way, or is it how when it comes to that stuff, how do you make that work? And what's your strategy surrounding that?
Joe's very much, okay, we need to do this. We need to plan this out. We need to plan like 3 years out. Let's go. Like Joe would plan 10 years out if she could, I'm sure. She would plan till she died. Like if she could.
Settle down.
and I'm like, do you know what? I don't even know what's happening next week. Seriously, I can't plan that far in advance. But I think that's from a mother's point of view, not like that part of my life gets in the way sometimes. So I have teenage kids at different age groups to Joe, and I just can't get into my head what is going to happen in 6 months time or 12 months time, even from a mum's point of view. Mm-hmm. So then I kind of go, well, how can I plan what's going to happen in 12 months time in the business? Because I don't know if I can do that trip, or I don't know if we can do that event in 12 months time. Because I don't know what's happening in my personal life in 12 months' time. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah, but what I've come to realize is things can shift and change, and we can, and it's just a plan. It's not locked in stone. I haven't, you know, written it in blood. So I can change and I can pivot and adapt. So what we do now is, yes, we plan out a good 6 months if we can, like certain elements of our business is different to others, but we plan out a really good 6 months in some elements of the business, and then others we kind of just do weekly because it's how that part of the business works. But yeah, we really do try and plan at least 6 months, and if we can get a little bit further than that, we try. But yeah, and that's a really big step for us too, Mike, I should add, because previous to meeting you in March, we weren't planning anything. So for us to even plan 6 months is massive.
No, and that's a big deal, because I mean, and there's that saying, you know, planning is useful, but sticking to those plans is futile in a lot of cases, right? Because things can change, environments can change, situations can change. When you're evaluating the products that you have, because I mean, I'm looking, I mean, the recipes are one thing, but when you're talking about the, you know, oils and all the products, like, and you talked about when in doubt, don't. Have you had these situations where like when in doubt, eliminate, like get rid of, like we're going to kill this thing, or we're going to, you know, exercise ourselves out of this part of this business, and then we've got plans in place to move into this element? Like, is that something that's part of when you guys are having those discussions over the phone, or is it stuff that kind of happens you know, in those 6 month planning sessions that we've kind of just touched on?
Yeah, I've got a really good example of that there. So we are heavily involved in the doTERRA essential oils, and, you know, that is almost a separate business, but we combine it into sort of one. And there was another company that approached us probably 4 or 5 months ago, and we were just about to take it on. And we just had that gut feeling of when in doubt, don't. Mm. And Tracy said, Joe, I just don't feel good about it. Like, I really don't feel good about it. And I said, okay, yep, nah, we're not doing it. And I'd literally filled out all the forms. I had the credit card in there. I just had to hit the button of submit. And we backed out because it just didn't feel good in our gut. Like, we just, you know, going to Tropical Think Tank was scary. You know, we were flying over and we looked at each other and we went, are we out of our depth here? Like, do we deserve to be here? But it wasn't that gut feeling of this is going to be bad. Mm. So when we have that, nah, this is not the right decision, we just don't do it. And we just live by that. You know, as I said, from our personal life and our business life. And so far, it's done the right thing by us. And I think sometimes you have that gut feeling and then you do it anyway, and then it was the wrong decision.
Yeah, there was an article recently, and I'll link to it, about like there is actually some science that the gut is trying to tell you something when it's, you know, there's a recent article about it. I'll put it in the show notes for everybody. But trusting your gut is because it's, which is, again, why, like, because your brain will play tricks on you on some occasions, especially if, and I've run across this too, where it's like, oh, this will bring in a quick influx of cash, or this will bring a quick, or this will serve my ego more than serve, you know, I mean, which is something that we all face, right? That's why Ryan Holiday's Ego is the Enemy has sold so many copies, because people are like, yep, you're right. So no, I totally get that. And so when it comes to making those decisions, now what about if you've already got a bumper crop of things going on, but what about that time? Like, do you sit down and say, do you assess and say, hey, we're going to give this part of our business this much time, and then we're going to either kill it or we're going to offshoot it. Like, I'm also talking about that kind of decision and that kind of, gut intuition as well.
Absolutely. We do that. What we realized was, as well, coming out of Tropical Think Tank, was we had really started to move our business focused really a lot on the doTERRA essential oil side of things. And we'd lost our way a little bit from what we started with, the core business of additive and preservative free eating. And we ran another round of our e-program, Additive Free Made Easy. And the lives that are changing and the people that we are helping throughout that course is something that fills us both with so much happiness that we realized that is what we want to get back to. So we really pulled back on the doTERRA side of things. And even though financially the doTERRA business is going great and it's one of our main income streams, we realized that we were helping so many other people, even though we weren't getting as big an income from that e-program, but it was making us so happy that we wanted to keep doing that. And that was our core business. So we started heading down this little journey of doTERRA and kind of was forgetting about the other stuff. And it was still happening, but it was just sort of sitting there in the background and we weren't spending as much time as we should have been. And then we've really pivoted back to that now and really have kind of focused a bit more on that. So yes, we definitely do that as well in that side of stuff.
Going back to planning, actually, when you asked us about how we plan our business, can I just touch on that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive into that a little bit more.
So we kind of do like exactly what Trace said and plan about 6 months out. But sometimes, because we've got so many elements of our business, we kind of plan in blocks of the income stream.
Sure.
I suppose.
Seasonally, in a manner of speaking, wouldn't that be? Would that be?
Well, sort of, yeah. So our e-course, we plan about 12 months ahead. Mm-hmm. Not set dates, but definitely we only run for a year. Mm-hmm. So we know we've got another one coming up in October. Next year will probably be, you know, like we haven't planned next year, but, you know, we will. So it might be January, you know, and then we'll plan the quarter out for that course. For our physical product store, we sit down with the girls and we plan that about 12 weeks ahead because we need to know what sales are coming up. Mm-hmm. We need to know what to advertise in our podcast show, you know, and we need to try and tie our physical product store into our Facebook Lives, our podcast show, and, you know, wherever else we can try and tie in whatever the special of the week might be for that week. So we do plan about 12 weeks ahead with our physical product store, and also our podcast show as well. We're up to, Trace handles that, we're a good 8-9 weeks ahead, which we've never been before.
It feels ever. Great. It feels great. It feels great to get that far ahead. Mm-hmm. I've actually got podcast episodes scheduled all the way till 2018 at this point as we're recording this.
Wow.
And recorded, and by the time,
but that's why you do what you do, but you teach us how to do it.
But you do it. But here's the thing: is that you've already been. I mean, you talked about how you plan and you map things out. That's very thematic, right? Like, I mean, you have to because, and it's interesting. You know, one of the things I learned from working at Costco was, and if you've ever been in a Costco, and we talked, I did touch on this at Tropical Think Tank, but one thing I didn't dive into is that, you know, right now it's as we're recording this, it's the middle of August, not even, about the first week in August here in Canada, and the Halloween decorations are there. So what Costco does, and they're very good at this, is they trigger you. So they're like, you know, if you want to buy Christmas decorations, you're buying them in June or July at Costco. They're going to be gone by the time August rolls around. By the time for Halloween, because it's a lesser known holiday, it's going to be, you know, August. It'll be Thanksgiving. That stuff's probably already come and gone too. So it's a matter of getting, and that's what I try to do with mine. One of the things that I've run into with my team is they say, oh, we want to plan around January being when we do our launches for productivity stuff. And I understand that, but I also want to be like Costco and capture New Year's stuff in November. Because January, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing that stuff. I mean, I still want to be there and have some social stuff, but I want to do a full launch in like November when people are not, you know, when people are sitting there going, oh, right, the year's almost done. Because I remember, I don't start my year in January. I start my year to mirror the school kids' year. So my year actually just started as this is airing. My year is literally just beginning. So, you have to plan that stuff out because if you want to deliver it the way you want to deliver it, whether it's by industry or by design of your own design, if you don't plan that stuff out, especially with physical products, I mean, you've got shipping stuff to take care of. You've got, I mean, again, you've probably got buying power things where if you want to buy more, you're going to get a quantity discount. There's lots of different things that play into that, but that's all thematic. And if you start to wire your brain that way around everything else, then, you know, then you're going to be able to impact so many other things, not just things like product launches and inventory, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We really never had a system with that store until you, really. and we definitely came back from that conference going, okay, let's look at our calendar. We now have themed days and we have themed quarters and like we're theming all around the place, right?
Well, I'm really happy that has helped you out. That's why I do what I do, and I really enjoyed chatting with both of you today. It's been great. Where can people find you, and what one thing, if you want to direct them not just to your website, but where's another area where if they're going to get the most bang for their buck, whether it's Canadian, Australian, or US dollar, where can they go?
Okay, I'll take that one. It's Joe. It's our main website is systemixin.com. So that's just systermixin.com. And I guess the best place to go would be there and hop on our mailing list, I guess, so you can, you know, see what we've got coming up. Obviously, we can't get physical products we could get it to Canada and America, but our e-course is probably the best for you guys, and that is the one that is going to teach you all about additives and preservatives in today's food. And that is found at additivefreemadeeasy.com. We've got our podcast show as well called The Whole Circle by Sister Mixon. And yeah, that's pretty much about us. So additivefreemadeeasy.com.
And the other thing is, I mean, again, even if you can't get the physical products there, it's going to give people a chance to see, okay, what should I be looking for? And then what can I get that would be suitable here? What's the equivalent or close to the equivalent in the country that I live in, right? So,
yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for joining me today, Joanna. Tracy, I really had a great time chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed reconnecting with these ladies. And there is more on the bonus episode that I put together for patrons, for members only. Head over to patreon.com/productivityist. You can learn about a big life choice that one of the sisters made that's going to have a huge impact on their business and their productivity in the process. So again, that podcast is for members only, for patrons only. Patreon.com/productivityist will get you started. You can have access to all of the bonus content, eligible from various ranges from $1 all the way up to the $50 level. There's perks. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. Check it out, patreon.com/productivityist. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this episode through the ratings and review system in your podcast aggregator of choice. Maybe that's iTunes. That could be maybe some iTunes reviews. It helps people find the show, and it will help us by grabbing the feedback. We can look at it and make the show better. So again, I'd love to hear from you. Head over to iTunes or your podcast catcher of choice and leave the show a rating or review. Thanks to John Polster for producing this week's episode of the show. Thanks to my team for putting together all the other nuts and bolts that make this show happen every week. And thanks to you for listening. Until next time, I am Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.